I like saying hi, buddy, or like hi, pal. That's a nice one. Hi, dude. These are nice sort of gendered greetings for someone who identifies as the male gender.
Yeah.
And people of a generation or two, probably two generations before mine, would have said love to a female presenting person. All right, love.
Sure.
And that can be read in all sorts of different ways, in the same way that, like, bro, mm-hmm. or, mm-hmm. but, you know, certain things, you mm-hmm. know, love can be condescending.
Yeah.
I am not there yet with, I haven't settled on that kind of language that feels sort of, buddy is nice, and I would use buddy for someone who is gender neutral, maybe, but I wouldn't call a lady buddy.
Right.
And it just struck me as I was buying things in the shop today. I thought, well, what does Brendan think about this?
I remember a couple years back when, and it was like, you know, the 2020 era-ish, when the gendered language of modern English was being scrutinized.
Mm.
And
as people study creatures that swarm and multiply in a drop of water. Sorry, I'm re-listening to The War of the Worlds. So,
okay.
You said scrutinized, and that just set off a...
I remember people getting upset with guys, you guys,
mm-hmm.
as a group of people, not necessarily as a group of male-identifying individuals. And from that point, like, I took that, that's great. And the phrase y'all was brought as a gender neutral way to address multiple people. And you know,
a gender neutral plural pronoun, if you will.
Yeah. My first, you kind of chuckled at it when I said it. And I very much also chuckled at it because of my Northern superiority complex. Which, you know, is completely false, but it's there. And, like, you know, the Southern people are embracing that for a good reason. It's appropriate language.
Yeah.
And, you know, once I came down from my high horse about it, I was like, oh, that's really great. And I have a friend who I don't consider Southern nor ignorant, who uses it all the time. And it's like, oh, okay, great. You know, and so I became not only accepting of it, but I started using it. That's kind of my default now is I text my two bros when I text them. I text them y'all all the time. It's just because it's fun.
It's within easy reach. So across the other side of the country to you, you have the Boston area, which I'm led to believe is full of Irish people. And the Irish, certainly... people within the persuasion of Irishness that I encounter have usins, which I believe is found within Boston as well, I think.
Okay.
Basically the same thing, you know, use lot or usins. It's less common now, but I used to have an aunt who would say usins.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I think I've maybe heard that once or twice before, but that's definitely it's like, what are you actually saying?
The words you're saying?
Usins? Yeah. It's like users. Or it's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, love is interesting. I actually love the idea around it and just spreading more love. But it's definitely used in a way that's very gross. And kind of, and like, not always.
Yeah.
It can actually be really sweet and cute.
Yeah. But, and that's the problem, because
it is.
You wouldn't use love to a bloke, so it is already, you know, seeing as a diminutive.
Yeah,
being used as a diminutive.
Unless those people are very comfortable with their sexuality and they have that kind of relationship, and then it's like there's this closeness. But you wouldn't.
Oh yeah, like two dudes in a relationship would I would imagine would.
I don't even mean love. That. Yeah, I don't even mean that. I just kind of mean like I would expect that from the people I'm going to play dodgeball with. They're all various gender spectrum, various sexuality, and all very comfortable with themselves and with other people. And I would expect something like that from them.
Mm.
But I wouldn't expect it from people who are strictly heterosexual, strictly kind of structured like that in this country. In your country, differently.
Yes, yeah. Indeed. Yeah, it is. It is a. It's a generational thing, I think, to a degree. I was just. I don't know. It was just. It was the thought that I thought I would bring to the thought place.
What do you call a group of people who are maybe mixed gendered?
So because of who I am, my whole deal.
Who are you?
Who even? I tend, and you've heard me do it, and you've heard the sort of way that I do it. I have a tendency to adopt an Americanism with a sort of slightly ironic twist.
Sure.
So I might say y'all, but I will like lean on it. Like, I want you to know I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, that sounds very y'all. Like, I want you like, to I'll know really, that I know
I'll
what
really,
I'm doing.
I'll really grind it in, you know, y'all. I want you to know that like I'm having fun with it, but also, you know, this is cultural appropriation.
Well, you fathered it, so at least you can.
I have been known to use usins as well because there's a devilish part of me that likes playing around with a double apostrophe. Words like you'd have. I quite like playing around with those kinds of things because it's like it's how we speak, but we seldom write like that.
Yeah, you'd have. Yeah, a double apostrophe like, is pretty cool. What would your brother say for multiple people?
That's a great question.
I come up with those from time to time.
Yeah. Oh, too many. If truth be told,
oh,
on occasion.
That's not how I see myself.
Says the guy who just edited two back-to-back episodes of Convergence.
that's a big concentration of Brendan. That's quite. You should take a pill or something.
I'm going to ask my brother. Nice. Okay. What's the question? So we'll see if we can get a response live.
What would you call a group of mixed genders?
Yeah.
How would you address?
How would you address is nice.
Live on the pod. Yeah, we'll get back to that immediate follow up. So I have a question from last week that we didn't get to, and
yes, you do.
And a very well, it'll probably turn into something. It always turns into something. I was going to say a very small question about... I have a question about you and I have a question about me.
Okay.
Do you have a preference?
Let's go. Let's get the question about me out of the way and I'm going to put a time limit on it.
I mean, sure, go ahead if you want. I don't care.
Klaxon's going to go off in at least minutes.
It's not a formed question. I guess I should have spent some time. But it's just one word, but it's...
Oh my God, why?
And there's no punctuation. It's actually just a word. But I'm excited to explore, you know, a part of this project that we're doing right now is exploring each other's projects and the progress on them and the way they're unfolding and all that, all those cool bits and pieces. You are now monetized.
Yeah.
And we haven't really discussed that on the pod yet, but you've done a milestone, dude.
I have. Yes. Congratulations. I have. And thank you. I was chatting to Podcasting Royalty this week, and one of the things that makes them Podcasting Royalty is they respect people who have been in the game for a long time, even if they haven't ascended to the heights that they have.
Mm. Oh, that's cool.
And that was really lovely. Like it was lovely and validating to, you know, when someone's like, listen, you know, you get it. You've been here a long time. Like, you know, when someone sort of acknowledges you in that way, completely as an equal, not pandering, not, you know. And that was really nice. And that person sort of expressed their pleasure in, you know, in me reaching sort of that milestone. Yeah, it's... I'm trying to remember it as often as possible and trying to sit with it. And as I was having a bit of a, I'm going to have a name for these like days that things fall apart mentally. as I was having one of those heavy days yesterday, which a bit like a butterfly emerging from the goo that it emerges in between the larval or in between the caterpillar state and the butterfly state, it basically dissolves and goes into goo. I sort of had to live in that state yesterday for most of a day before I then poked my head out and go, "Oh, a thing." And while I was in that state, I was sat and doing some gratitude because I'm that kind of a wanker now.
And why do you frame it like that?
Because I'm being ironic. Because
I think that's beautiful, dude.
I know, and I do too.
It's beautiful, love.
But I'm thank you, love. Thank you, sweetheart.
Jesus, and I love you.
Always going to slightly apologize for being an evolved human being because it's funny.
And eventually you'll evolve out of that.
No. Because I see it as oh my god, we can go.
I know. I'm derailing. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. Carry on, please.
I was sat on the sofa doing my gratitude wank. My gratitude wank. Doing my gratitude. Ooh,
tell me about that.
No, don't. And reminding myself what a special guy I am. What a special moment, achievement this is. And remembering, you know, something that I did not think would have happened this early on. By months and months and months, has happened. And it's rare. Like, this isn't... I think in my head, I think I have this idea, and it did occur to me, I think, when I was chatting to this person as well, that, like, I tend to think certain things are normal that are actually exceptional. Like the fact... I know I keep talking about it, but it's a helpful thing. Like the fact that I had a company that had 400 customers.
Mm-hmm.
Like... To me, that was like quote unquote never quite enough or whatever.
Right.
When I'd spoken to people, and because I was still in a stage of grimly undervaluing or greatly undervaluing myself, when people would say "Wow," I'd be like, that's a little bit. Oh, that's nice of you to say. Oh, that's a little bit condescending or whatever. It's like no, one person. I don't know. I had help, mostly from you, but you know, for the most part, one person.
Yeah.
Did this, built something that 400 people paid to use, and then tens of thousands, if not, you know, multiple tens of thousands of people, it touched, those people.
Yeah.
And it's become more important to me that I recognize those moments that's not normal. That is... Yep. And so just because I'm a small player and there are bigger organizations, in the same way with podcasting, yes, I am in the same kind of quote-unquote league as some of the shows that I listen to. That makes me... that's not normal. Because normal is the shows that you and I have been making for 15 years.
Yeah.
Normal is you get... If you're lucky, but if you work really, really hard at it, you get 250 downloads an episode.
Right.
And you go as long as it's fun. See, you know, something like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which is probably the top end of that scale because, you know, we actually had a little bit of, a tiny little bit of a fan base. Mm-hmm. And recognizing that is not the normal thing. Is really important, recognizing that it is exceptional. It is an exception, and that is a good thing.
So you moved over to Acast.
Yeah,
they accepted you into their program and everything.
Not without a struggle, but yes.
On their end or just on your end?
on their end, it was weird. Like it, I mean, it doesn't bear us going through the whole thing, but essentially, they're not doing they're fine. And they're probably going to be fine, but they're going through their own like goo phase, I think, at the moment.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think I might have. This isn't related. Like, I don't think this is like a mitigating reason for why they accepted me. I met the numbers. I exceeded the numbers that they want. Yeah. But I also think yes, and new paragraph. There's also some shit I think maybe happening with Acast that's a bit like, oh dear. But I'm gonna hold on. With white knuckles for as long as it's as long as they keep showing me the amount of money that I've earned, which is about £35.
Nice.
So It's not nothing. Now I've got the Patreon. And that was the other thing when I was doing my gratitude practice is it's tiny numbers, but that's not the point. I am making money purely from my art.
Yeah, man.
Which I think is the first time that's ever happened.
Yeah, man.
You know, if we consider Podient to be a service and other things that I've done to be, a product or a service that has a goal other than to entertain you, and that is basically what Undo is. It's an entertainment product. It's not meant to do, it's not a sales tactic for a book or a course or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that there are, a number of people you could count on one hand, not the point, the fact that there are people who value it enough that they're like, yeah, I'll sling some cash on a Patreon, is incredible, because they don't get anything other than the ability to listen ad free. And I was joking with my friend Aisha last week that, like, oh no, I've basically just made my product more annoying and then said, if you want it to be less annoying, you could pay. But that's capitalism.
That's capitalism. Mm-hmm. Oh, you like this thing? Let's make it worse and you'll pay me more.
Just a little bit worse.
Yeah.
That wonderful line from a wonderful line from The Good Place is something along the lines of, I'll always marvel at humans and their ability to make something just a little bit worse so that they can have more of it.
Oh, it's so true.
Yeah, I'm feeling good about it, and
awesome.
It's hard work at the moment. I'm going through a patch where it's feeling like putting the episodes together are harder work, but that's because of my magpie brain, which is, part of the challenge and part of why I do the thing anyway is because I've got a magpie mind. How are you and your various projects? Because we've got the meditation circle, the meditation group, and your new sort of more experiences with Dodgeball, and of course Good Mode. So how are things looking there? Because you are a productive Mother Hubbard at the minute.
I'm trying. So Dodgeball was canceled that last time because there was a roof leak, but I'll be back there Monday. Man, that was so fun. Can't wait to get back. The meditation group. Did I not talk about that on the podcast yet?
You did. You actually told us all about it. And just curious to know if there's any more. Any more to tell?
We've got another one scheduled for the 30th. We've got a Discord going with almost a dozen people in there. Well, a little less than that, maybe. And it's kind of cool and happening and feeling pretty good about that. Man, it was such a great time. It was just kind of bliss. It was just like time evaporated because we were just all in the moment, and it felt so correct and necessary. The presence of being with people in person is definitely, there's an energetic there. There's a calmingness. There's a camaraderie. And there's also comes with negative is a strong word, but like not positives as well. There's there's people pleasing. There's wanting to accommodate for people. There's checking on people's needs, and maybe somebody's not in a great mood and it can kind of affect you more. But that's also kind of gold in its own way of genuine connection and not everything is good.
The word I think about there is relishing.
Mm.
I think you can relish that. I think it's a challenge, or it can be a challenge.
Yeah.
But there's something satisfying about that. I know what you mean, I think, about you're in a room, sort of a mixed ability group, if you like, or a mixed mood group, and too much is chaotic. And then, that's the definition of too much, but when there's a sort of certain amount of people that you're navigating and thinking about and trying to balance people's needs, there is, I think, a relishing of that, even as it's a challenge. And I think that's good. I was thinking this week about how I sometimes notice my energy levels really rocket when I'm speaking to people. in mostly in real life. I think there's a version that happens in a little box.
Yeah.
But I was having a chat with someone. We went for an impromptu coffee, and as I was talking, I noticed my whole nervous system being elevated and excited.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a conversation, you know.
Yeah.
And that is a little bit like caffeine to me, I've found.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And there's been moments where I've thought, I'm really flagging it. I really seem to be, I just seem to be really tired. I'm yawning a lot. And it was the same today. I was working along, editing and, you know, not because the content was boring, but I was yawning a lot. And now I'm having a conversation with you, and I'm pretty up there. And then I, you know, have conversations with other people in the real world, and that somehow that is, it spikes my energy levels a lot more. And I think that's interesting, whether that's a change in me or I don't know, but I know that I'm noticing it more, which I find interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One thing I notice more is when I'm listening to a podcast or a recorded conversation, I am more likely to tune out at times and get distracted. And I'm much less likely to do that in person.
Yeah.
But I wonder if my podcast listening helps train me to tune out of conversations, because I do. And this is an aspect of natural. The nine. One of Suzanne Stabile's teachings is that a nine only hears like 40% of the conversation or something like that. I can't remember what the percentage is, but it's not high. And like, I definitely have worked a long time before and during knowing the Enneagram at trying to be actively listening and trying to be engaged. And it's a effort.
Mm-hmm.
It is something that I have to think about. I have to actively do to understand people. And it also, like, there's the hearing loss that comes into it for me as well. I have to look at people's faces to try and piece together their mouth shape and their words that I hear and everything.
So it's not helpful when I'm really, really close to the microphone and then you can't. Well, no, that,
now you're loud and clear. So it's actually really great.
Yeah, that's I haven't listened to this, but we have updates from my brother.
Updates, real-time feedback.
Real-time feedback. Let's check this one out.
Elliot's gone for they. I say peeps, or maybe gang. Hello, peeps. Hello, gang. Bit lame, though.
It's funny that, because when you asked me the question, the first thing I thought of was peeps.
Oh, funny.
We've got a follow-up.
Oh, and it's also thrown out naturally. Hey, guys.
Oh, yeah, that's
yeah, guys. I think that's the one.
Yeah, you see, therein lies the problem. Well, there you are. Mm-hmm. Okay, all right.
Mm-hmm. Good to know.
Yeah,
and now your brother's voice is on the pod. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So you asked about God mode and what I've been working on and stuff. A refrain in our conversations is that, at least, kind of lately. I don't, it might be on the pod and off the pod.
Uh-huh.
Is that, you know, people don't read.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm asking myself, why am I trying to write so much?
Okay, that's interesting.
Why am I trying to write blog posts for Rockstar? Why am I trying to write all this stuff for God Mode to illustrate stuff? I mean, yeah, sure. There's. I could switch to video, but I don't really want to. I'm not drawn to it. I'm not really drawn to writing either, but just like slightly more. Yeah, it was just kind of a funny thought. It's like, we already know people aren't going to read this. Why am I putting so much effort into this?
So do you have, not that you need one, do you have an alternative medium?
Exactly. Like, I need to have a medium. Ugh. I don't know. Fucking tattoos.
Well, we discussed this before. We discussed this, I think... On so this was one of our as you described them before, I think one of our special conversations. There's a potential plan for how God mode happens.
Yeah.
And I don't see that necessarily needing lots of writing.
Yeah.
And I think there is a way to deliver it in video that doesn't mean that you're like, hey, hey guys, hey peeps. This peeps. Is the Brendan show that's, you know, that's much more like you with a phone in front of you going, this is a thing. You know, like the course that I paid an exorbitant amount of money to go on many years ago, which sort of set a whole bunch of shit in motion. That's kind of what they did for a lot of stuff because it's way more digestible than, you know, for example, me here sat with my reasonably curated office space and my massive microphone. It's like, it's all a bit, you know, making a bit of a point. Whereas if you just stick a camera, or stick a, your phone, pardon me, stick your phone in front of your face and go off king, you know, I see nothing wrong with that.
So we're doing the waffles now, the Wednesday waffles, where we share a video with our little friend group here. And I don't know, I stand in front of a mirror, or even right now I'm seeing my image on the video call here. And yeah, I like what I see. I take a selfie video to send to you guys, and I feel like I look fucking stupid. I feel like I look fat. I feel like I look kind of gross and unhealthy and silly. And there's something, I'm feeling uncomfortable. I'm viscerally just like, just thinking about it. I'm like, not a fan.
Then that's fine. I think there are certain things where we do want to push outside of our comfort zone, but also...
are there? I'm, that's a comment at myself for always, for constantly trying to push both you and myself.
Yeah. the things... I was thinking about this, like... The things that I push myself, the zones of discomfort I push myself into are so numerous that we've never really talked about. You know, and it's like, we keep picking on these one or two areas of comfort. And it's like, there's so much of my life where I'm not comfortable and I keep pushing myself into those situations. Anyway, that's fine. It's not a thread that needs to be pulled on because, like, I get it. Like, I really like making video, but I don't particularly like being on camera. I actually spent I can't remember when it was, sometime this week, I think, might even have been Monday, I was dicking around with some ideas for some short form video about website stuff, and Christ, it's a lot of work. And like, because you've got to create B-roll and all this kind of stuff, and I was having fun, but like, it took me so long to make one 45-second video. And in the end, I threw it all in the trash because I can't make video in a way in that style where you're sort of very visible and authoritative. You're meant to be authoritative. I can't make that in a way that makes me feel comfortable or that makes me feel like I look okay, you know?
Yeah.
There's too many things that are maybe just hang-ups that no one else cares about, but there are definitely things that you know, people might care about or whatever. So, yeah, it's a lot, man. And I'm still enamored with it as a format. I think it's really fun, and I think there's fun stuff to be done. And I've got, I was kicking around joking with you last night about something that I will be playing with once we finish this call, that... does not require me to be, and I think I'm going to make the intention that I don't show my face on it.
Amazing.
Because that particular format doesn't need me to.
Yeah.
There is a format. So we, you know, I sent you a thing and you were like, are you making a cooking show? And I said, yes. because I like straight up am.
Amazing.
And I would think that the amount that you cook and the amount of food knowledge that you have, I would follow Brendan's short form video series on the foods that he makes.
Yeah, I would probably make considered them. That. I've definitely considered that, and that would be. I hadn't really thought about so much a video series where I'm not really on camera, and that's interesting.
There was a lovely series, and they've moved on to a slightly adjacent area now. It was this nice pleasant sounding woman, English woman, was doing, or British woman, I don't know if she's English, but was doing a little series called Tins Made Tasty. And it was about, and it was such a lovely little idea. Like when you hit one of those ideas, and because I'm conversant in this now, because I've watched a lot of it, and I sort of I'm curious about it. When you spot someone who's like, oh, you've got a good little format there. It was, you know, like rescuing tins from your cupboard and giving them, you know, doing something fun with them, which is kind of where I'm going with the series that I'm looking at.
Nice.
For a very different kind of food. It's all done, like she's never on camera. She just has a few shots, like, and the opening shot is she just rolls the tin across the counter. So there's just a bit of movement. You can see what the tin is, and it's all done in voiceover. And she'll show a few shots of her prepping the thing. So there, you know, in the bowl, whisking a thing or dumping some chickpeas into a bowl or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You never see her. You never really see her hands, and then you sort of see the finished product, and it's lovely, and it just works, and it's done. And there's one or two like that. There's a guy, I can't remember, we may have talked about him in passing. I think he's buggered off now because I think maybe he got scared off by the TikTok ban, I'm not sure. But there's a guy who's got like millions of subscribers on YouTube and has a TikTok thing where he makes almost ASMR kind of cooking videos. And so the sound is really dialed up. And it's really well, and they're beautifully shot, really well put together.
Yeah.
And he's only in it for the last 3 seconds, where he will make a huge batch of disgusting food, and then he will eat the whole thing. Because he started, it's really brief reason why is he started as one of these mukbang guys, you know, who just like eat food and just people watch people eat food. It's a thing.
Yeah.
And so he was looking around for a bunch of stuff to do. He was a reasonably attractive looking guy. And I think he was like, how can I be reasonably attractive and get paid? And so he found this thing. And then through that, I think he's gone into cooking. And so he cooks the food and then he will just consume it in like 5 bites. And then give the camera a thumbs up. And it's really kind of sweet. And so like, you can be on camera as much as 3 seconds or as little as zero.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've got your voiceover. He never says a word. There's no voiceover for his. But other things there are. And that's what I'm going to be doing. And you could absolutely do that. And like I said, I would watch them and I would probably make what you post.
Yeah, man, I could definitely see that. I had been, like, I make a lot of recipes and I have actually a lot of, I feel like kind of unique recipes, ones I don't see online that are very healthy and super tasty.
Nice. And
yeah. And also I have some cooking techniques that I do that I also don't see or hear about anywhere. Like, I came across a video by, I think it was Bon Appetit or one of those big cooking shows. And they were like ranking the top garlic presses and garlic choppers and cutters and stuff, and they went through, you know, each different one and tried different aspects of it and had a bunch of different categories of how they were good and bad. And like one of the things was like the retention of how much garlic gets stuck in there that you can't really
I was thinking of. Yep.
And I'm like, y'all peeps are missing the reasons. And also and the fact that the garlic press is a single use utility. It's like, it's you can't really use that for any, like, sure, you could put an olive in there or something, you know, like mince, yeah, whatever, but it's not, that's not what it's made for. It's not what you use it for, really. No. And so that was one of the downsides that they would ding these appliances for, not appliances, but utensils, yeah, I guess. I don't know, whatever.
Utensils, yeah.
And I'm like, y'all are missing the best garlic mincer, best tool for this. That's already in your kitchen. So you don't you don't need to buy a special extra thing. You already have it. A meat tenderizer.
Ah, perfect. Yeah. I don't know anyone who owns a meat tenderizer, but yes.
Okay. Well, sure. But it is already a common appliance. It's like it already is a thing that you know about, even if you don't have one.
Sure.
But you can then tenderize your meat and like you can just press. You just put it on top of the garlic and then press down and it crushes it perfectly. And you can like, you can have it big and chunky, or you can grind it down all the way into like a super fine mince. and like you have a lot more control depending on the dish that you have. And then it's 100% of the garlic. You don't miss any of the garlic because it's not all caught up in the contraption.
Caught up in the gears.
Yes.
That's exactly the kind of shit that you would do, I think, do well to post.
I think so too.
And what I'd love to see is you getting it, like get in the comments, as Brendan Lee Mulligan says.
Get in the comments.
Get in the comments. Get in the comments. God, I love that guy. Mm-hmm. Of like all the, because you know, I watch a few of these. Like there's a guy who's big on beans. I think he's a vegan guy. And he's like, anytime there's anything to do with beans, people are tagging him in, and mm-hmm. he's getting in and having a conversation, and
yeah.
he'll you know, do, it's not a duet, but he'll like superimpose a video and then he'll talk about it. Like,
sure,
and people will make thing. These recipes. Mm-hmm. Like people yeah. make like black bean brownies and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, those are good.
Yeah, and he'll talk about, the, you know, sometimes you can't usually taste the black beans. These ones you can taste the black beans and various stuff like that. And he's kind of charismatic and fun. Mm-hmm. And I just love the idea of you entering that conversation yeah. and going toe-to-toe and having really interesting dialogues with the people who are both sides of the, for example, and we're not gonna do it, but for example, the aspartame, you know, discussion. Like, you can absolutely get in there in the comments with those people and go back and forth, whether it's just in text or in video, and the whole turns out, double turns out. Yeah. And you'll learn some stuff, they'll learn some stuff. Like, I think it would be really fun. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think you might have a good time because you can be yeah. pretty, like, you can do the production thing. But I've also just recorded videos on my sofa, literally just held the phone up, and here are some thoughts, and that's also fine.
I'm literally shaking with aspartame constipation.
Okay. Yeah.
Let's move on.
Yeah.
What can we distract me with a different topic?
Yeah. Oh, squirrel. Back in the Podient days, you were quite happily making video because you were using the Clips app and you were being all fun mm. millennial about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have a sense of what changed?
I spent a lot of time on those. And yeah, I don't know. Video takes time. Video to me takes a lot of time because
for some, it seems like it comes easy.
It does seem like that. Yeah. And it can be super quick. Like, you just record it and post it, and it's like 90% enough to me. And I still want to do that extra 10%, and that extra 10% takes 5-10 times as long as
Oh, it's the 80-20 rule.
So I don't, I like, maybe I need to get myself to the point where I can just post the simpler version of just recording it and posting it. Like, maybe I need to try that out. It would be uncomfortable, but I could probably do it.
Yeah, but then, you know, it might be, but know. Then there might be ways that you can find things that are more comfortable. Like, for example, I don't know why this is in my head, but like, what if you had visual aids? What if you were sat yeah. next to a whiteboard or something, mm-hmm. and you could draw a graph of your blood sugar over a certain day, or, well, you know, those kinds of
yeah.
things.
Yeah.
And you could, you know, talk about things, you know, and communicate in a way that maybe feels a little bit more. And the nice thing, I think, with something like that is you can probably sit there and have a conversation with the camera, or maybe even if Margaret is willing, she doesn't have to hold the camera, but you could be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm
just
not laughing
talking to Margaret.
I'm not laughing at you bringing it, Margaret. I think that's actually kind of beautiful, and she might be into that. I had my brain went in another direction. I was thinking of, like, because we're trying to brainstorm different ideas of what I could do, and I'm here thinking like, I love the idea of the cooking show. You're not looking at the person, you're just looking at the food being prepped, and I'm thinking about it through the lens of God mode. Like, food is a big part of it, but it's by far not all of it, and it's like, that's great, but like, I already overemphasize the food, and I want to provide that information to make that part easy to follow, but also I don't want to make it so much that it seems like it's the priority when it's just 1/5 of the priorities here. So I'm trying to think of like, okay, how can I do what looks kind of, or it feels kind of like a recipe video, but for those other aspects, for spirituality, for body movement, for, you know, community.
So straight away, I'm thinking, hi, listener, you're just listening to two guys brainstorm. You take a book that you like, and you'll have to get a physical copy because it'll, you know, because it looks nice, or just borrow it from the library, like, you know, do that. Yeah. And literally just film the cover, film you flipping through a few pages that are relevant or that are pretty, and it's all in the voiceover.
Yeah, no, for sure. Actually, I like that a lot.
Could draw some stuff.
I'm not bad at drawing.
Take some photos of the drawings and do some stuff. Mm-hmm. I've seen some lovely things where people have done like almost little pictograms. It was a silly one. It was about like swapping out ingredients for fried chicken. So like you've got your base three, you know, flour, egg, breadcrumbs or whatever, flour, egg.
I'd recommend adding chicken to that as well, but go ahead.
Yeah. The chicken was taken as a given.
Yeah.
And what they do, they've got these almost as little stickers and you just see a top down shot of the person just like moving the stickers around to say, if you replace this flour with, as you would say, cornstarch, you get this. If you remove this, you get this. If you replace egg with this. And it's kind of just another way of, communicating an idea. There's a lot of, I think, you know, one of the reasons maybe it's become more popular, and I get it, and we can have the conversation about what it means to be scrolling through TikTok, and I won't fight you on that, but as a creative communication method,
for sure,
there's a lot of, you know, for want of a better word, artistry that can go into making something that's kind of quietly brilliant. And that's what this sort of tins made tasty idea, I'd say, is kind of quietly, it's just a lovely little concept, really well executed, so simple, doesn't need a lot of work, but it was just having the idea of all those tins of shit you've got in the cupboard, what if we made them, what if we did something nice with them?
Yeah.
Or, you know, you buy this stuff and you had no idea you could do this, these things with. Once you've got that little idea, there's so much to play with. And I think that's, there's a lot of fun there.
Yeah. What I was going to say, that the part that made me chuckle when I thought about the different types of alternate versions of the video, of a cooking video for the aspect of fasting, it would just be like an empty cutting board. It's just like 3 minutes of an empty cutting board as I talk about fasting.
Yep, that was absolutely. Yep. Just
maybe my water bottle is like in view of the camera, and you can see me like taking a drink every once in a while. goes off camera and then it comes back on camera.
Have you ever seen the video series "You Suck at Cooking"? You suck at cooking, I should say.
I don't think so. No.
I first found this, God, I don't know when. And it was a video about how to cut an onion, and it starts off completely straight. And so, you know, here's how you should cut an onion. And then he starts going into other ways that you can cut an onion, like if you attach a couple of electrodes to it and then turn the power on. It's sort of, you know, you just see the sort of the onion go, and then it like breaks apart. And then there's another one. He does a technique where he like rolls the onion down his forearm, and does a little flip,
and pops it.
And then it pops, and then it goes in. It slices across the backboard of his kitchen counter. And it's just silly little things like that, and they get more and more and more and more
absurd,
bizarre. Yeah. And I've never, like, I've seen a bunch of his videos, and there was a time where I would sit and mainline them, which is years and years ago, because I just wanted to consume all of them because they just made me laugh.
That's amazing.
and you never see his face. Never seen, no idea what the guy looks like. Never seen his face. A lot of it is top-down shots of his cooking board, and then he'll go out and do other stuff. He went a little bit more avant-garde as the years went on. And I think he's actually returned, because I think he stopped doing it for a while, it feels like. But I think he's kind of made a bit of a return with TikTok, and so I'm seeing him do more stuff. And it's just mostly top-down shot of the cutting board and a bit of fun editing. So okay. I like it as a medium because I think it can help you crystallize the ideas and start getting, because I think part of it is there's that thing about the best way to learn something is to teach it.
Yeah, yeah.
And right now you've got all this stuff and all this knowledge and all these ideas, and it's like, yeah. Ah! But I think if you can get to the point where it's like, here's an outlet,
exactly.
I think you will... A structure will emerge, and I know you've already got a structure and an idea for stuff, but like more and more of that will solidify, and potentially because of the way the stuff works, you may get input from other people who can say, "Had you thought about this? What if you balance this with this?" And then it can all feed in. So,
yeah, and then I can stop talking to individuals directly about it and make it feel like it's all about them when I just am really excited about topics and want to talk about it.
Yes, Oh my god.
Yeah.
It's so much of my life. Oh my god. It's like, oh, I just want to, yeah.
Yeah.
Man, I'm having fun with, so I made a War of the Worlds reference earlier. There's 2018, there was a, are you familiar with it much?
Let's see. So it was a radio play, and then, was that the one that, like, that wasn't the George Orwell one, that was... people weren't told it was fiction and they thought it was kind of real. Is that the one?
So the story goes, yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That is the mythos around it that people didn't know when they started calling in a panic.
Yeah, I think I've listened to the original radio play back in the day, but I'm familiar with it being like surprise aliens, maybe like coming out of the ground because they've been there for a while, something like that. I don't remember.
It's been a minute. I've never actually heard the Orson Welles thing, but it's based on an H.G. Wells novel,
right,
which came out in the 19th century. So in that, it's creatures from Mars who come and attack Earth. Mm. Well, London. The only thing I know is kind of certainly what you know, but you've listened to it and I haven't. When people say War of the Worlds to me...
Mm-hmm.
I go to a thing that was in the 70s, which was a guy called Jeff Wayne, who I'm actually going to look at. I feel like he might have been in a prog rock band. I'm not entirely sure. In 1978, he released Jeff Wayne's musical version of The War of the Worlds, his musical adaptation of H.G. Wells' science fiction novel. 1978, this thing comes out, and... it's a musical, basically.
Okay.
And it stars a mixture of... it's not a huge cast. It's only got like half a dozen people. But Richard Burton is this is the lead character, and he has this amazing sonorous voice. And you will have probably heard me recite these words before because it's what I use for testing anything. I will always say, no one would have believed in the last years of the 19th century that human affairs were being watched from the timeless worlds of space. No one would have dreamed that we were being scrutinized as someone with a microscope studies creatures that swarm and multiply in a drop of water. Few men even considered the possibility of life on other planets. And yet, across the gulf of space, minds immeasurably superior to ours regarded this Earth with envious eyes, and slowly and surely they drew their plans against us. Dun dun dun! Dun dun dun! And it's big and it's bombastic and it's strings and it's synths and it's drums and it's guitars and it's fucking great. And pretty 70s, right? It's pretty damn 70s. But you've also got like people who were like, you've got a guy from Thin Lizzy, a guy called David Essex. These are names that you won't necessarily know, but they were kind of big in British music in the sort of 70s. And it's a very bare bones minimal story, and then you've got all these great songs. The Moody Blues?
Mm-mm.
No, okay. So the Moody Blues, who were a Birmingham band, they certainly the lead singer did a quite a few of the songs, and there's a couple of absolute belters. It's interesting. So I was thinking about like having your like what is your one thing? So the I'm going somewhere with this. I'm going to filibuster for a second. The episode of Undo that I'm working on this week is based on a book called The One Thing. And it's like, what is your one big idea? And it kind of might be why I had a bit of a meltdown yesterday, because I'm like, I don't know what mine is anymore. But you, I think, are at a point where you have yours, potentially.
Yeah, yeah.
And this, the War of the Worlds, is this guy, like, it's his thing. He has been, he's kind of never left it alone. A bit like George Lucas with the Star Wars. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, he made more films, but, like, he kept tinkering with the originals. Yeah. And in 2018, he made a new version of the War of the Worlds, which is much more drama. No one sings. The music is still in it. And it's been beefed up and stuff, mm-hmm. and been made to sound a little bit more like 2018, although some of it is still a little bit disco. Pew, pew. But it's been sort of dramatized, and it's, you know, obviously a new cast, and no one sings. But it's been absolutely wonderful to listen to as I walk to work. I was walking back today because just when you've got some of this stuff thumping in your ears, it's absolutely wonderful. But it did, yeah. I was thinking about your thesis statement, or your, you know what I mean? Your yeah. like your one thing. And I love the fact that, like, this guy, he will have gone off and done other projects, but if I do the maths, like over 47 years, he's come mm-hmm. back to the same thesis mm-hmm. and has developed it again and again. Yeah. And I think that's dope.
That is really dope.
And what it maybe says is, we can take our time with the big work.
Yeah.
But it's got to start somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. If we decide to put it out.
Yeah.
Part of me, I love all that. Thanks for sharing all that. I have been struggling slightly, when we talk about the video, we talk about writing and all of that and producing, I do get myself stuck in, what does it even matter for me to say? Like, you sent me that video of me, of the other guy as me talking about all the stuff that I was going to say. And it's like, okay, well, that viewpoint's already out there then. Like, sure, I can put the Brendan spin on it, which is fun. But, like, what's the point? People already
that's
know.
That's all an idea is. It's a couple of things borrowed from someone else and
right.
someone else's spin put on it.
Yeah, of course. And, yeah, it's not like he came to that answer from nowhere, and he needed to hear it from somebody to be able to do it. And like, and he even addresses that. It's like, why haven't I heard this before? And all that. And so I get that. And the more, like, if I contribute to that conversation, it just expands the conversation and more people can know that these things are possible.
Yes.
Which is great.
An important thing here, which is going to maybe not sound as important, but I think is, I don't warm to him. I don't want him alongside me. Like, I want him in very small doses because he's too aggressive. And also, like, I mean, I have a thing about people who are, and this is where sometimes you and I have butted up against things about, like, certainty and being very certain of certain things.
Yeah.
You are a lot more open. Well, you appear a lot more open-minded. And I mean, your whole fucking catchphrase is, correct me if I'm wrong. And you are much more of a warm individual who appears a lot kinder. And that is important because people will resonate with your stuff, even if a lot of it is the same. Doesn't matter. People will resonate with the way you tell it.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I do like that. Yeah, cool. Well, as always, Correct me if I'm wrong, love.
Go Hawks.
Peeps makes me think of the Easter marshmallow covered in sugar. Do you know, are you familiar with Peeps?
No, we don't have. I've heard of them, but it's not a thing that we have here.
Yeah, they're disgusting. Yeah. But I fucking love marshmallows too. But yeah. I don't know. Peeps have a certain flavor about them that's kind of like cardboard and death. Something like it's like they. It's like a manufacturer made 20 bazillion Peeps. And then they store them in a warehouse like 50 years ago.
No.
And they're still trying to sell through the backlog. That's what it tastes like.
Oh, no. We made too many Peeps. We have to shift them.
Yeah.